Matthew chapter number 2 this morning as we continue on with some Christmas messages today. We're going to preach this morning on why the wise men were wise. Now the word wise in the Bible, the wise men, actually was magi, and it actually meant magician. Now magician wasn't the same thing as it was today, but these were very, very smart men. They were probably studiers of the stars. Not astronomers, but not astrology, but astronomers. There's a difference in that. They didn't try to gather what was going to happen, although somehow or another they knew that when that star appeared in the sky, they knew that Jesus had been born. They knew that the King of Kings had come into the world. Now, we don't know exactly how they know that. We assume that they know that probably like Daniel was from over in that area, that maybe he had made a prophecy that did not make it into the Bible. That's not the most important. I mean, there's 300 and some odd prophecies about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how many more that we don't know about is there. But so they were there that night, and the night that Jesus was born, the star appeared in the sky. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And so they started out, they started on the day that Jesus was born. And they came to Jerusalem, and in verse number 2 it says, "Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophets." We know that was written in Micah. The Bible says in verse number 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." The Bible says in verse number 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood ever over where the young child was. Now, and when they had saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Verse number 12 says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way." Beautiful story about the wise men. And so they were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Israel was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah. The sad thing is Israel missed their Messiah. He came and they rejected him. And what a sad story that was. But these wise men traveled all the way across that desert. We don't know exactly how far it was, because we don't know exactly where they came from. But they do estimate it to be, I think if I'm not mistaken, they estimate it to be about 400 miles. Now, the problem in that day is you couldn't just jump in your vehicle like we're going to do in the morning and pop to Paducah, Kentucky. 150 miles away, we're going to leave. It'll take us a little time to get there because we're going to stop at Cracker Barrel, hallelujah, praise God, and have breakfast. And so it'll take us a little while to be there. I'm going to stop at the hospital in Mount Vernon and visit Richard while I'm going through tomorrow also. I haven't been able to get down there yet. So we're going to do a couple of things. It'll take us a little while to get there, but it's only 150 miles, which legitimately we could make in a little over 2 hours. They could not do that in that day. There's some things. We don't know how many wise men there were. How many does tradition teach? Why do we teach three? Three gifts. So we assume that there were three. We know there were at least two because it was wise men, not man. And so as we look into the Bible, there's so many things that we don't know. You know what? One of these days we'll know all these things, won't we? One of these days, if you want to, you'll find out if Mary rode a donkey all the way to Egypt, pregnant. I just have trouble visioning that in my mind. I just almost think she would rather walk, you know. But I don't know. But the wise men would have started out that night. Now, they couldn't have just started out that night. The only way they could have started out that night if they'd had everything prepared beforehand. Now, how long have they been looking for the star to come? We don't know that. What we assume, and we assume based on some scripture thing, is when the night they saw the star, then they had to make a decision and make preparations to travel. It was a very, very dangerous thing to travel in that day. I've actually read some books about the day, and most of the time people like to travel in large caravans because in those large caravans, there was safety because all of those caravan guys, the men who had the caravans where they actually transported goods back and forth, guess what else they took with them? They took weapons and they knew how to use them because thieves would come and try to break in and steal those things. So just three wise men traveling with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These three things are all very valuable in that day. If God protected them, could they have made it all the way across there? Absolutely, they could have, but we assume that they did not do it. So they had to put together that. They had to find a caravan probably and all of that before they started. Now, we do not know how long it took them from the time they saw the star to the time they get there. we go with an estimate of 2 years. Why do we go with an estimate of 2 years? Because Herod killed 2 years and younger. I actually think it was probably less time than that. I think Herod was such a wicked, ungodly man that it would not surprise me if they said, well, we left at such and such time. What if it had taken a year and Herod said, make sure you kill them 2 years and below, because he didn't care who lived or died. Let's just make sure we kill the right one. I don't care about all the children that are killed. We just got to make sure that we get that one. If you've ever studied about Herod, you will find out he was a wicked, ungodly man. You know, they said it was better to be his rooster than one of his sons because he actually put his sons to death. Herod, when he was sick and was almost to die, he had given a commandment to his soldiers. At what time he died, he had appointed soldiers to all the leaders of Jerusalem, and they were supposed to kill all of the leaders of Jerusalem when he died. You know why? He wanted there to be great mourning in Israel when he died. And so he said, if you kill a bunch of people, there'll be a bunch of... He was a sick-minded man, and so we don't know how old he was. How old Jesus was. But we do know this. We know he wasn't in the manger because as we read, they showed up at a house and the mother and the what? Child, the Bible says. Not the baby, but the child. And so we don't care about tradition. We care about truth. And so they showed up there. Now, so our question this morning is why the wise men were wise. And I got about 8 points. I'm going to try to give them to you real quick, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us to realize that as these wise men were wise, we can be wise. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that we do need wisdom in our life to understand what you want us to do and how you want us to live for you. And Lord, the Christmas season is a good time to remind us, as Miss Sydney just sang, he was born to die on Calvary. And Lord, when we got born again, you have a purpose for our life to live for you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, the wise men were wise because they followed the light that they had. They followed the light that they had. In verse number two, they said that they saw that star shining in his star in the east. And now we've come to worship him. Now, as I mentioned, I used to think they followed that star all the way to the house. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible shows that they did not do that because when they got to Israel, what did they do? When they got to Israel, they said, well, now what do we do? And they said, well, let us go ask the king. Let's go. So they went to Jerusalem, they went to the capital city, and they went in and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? What did Herod do? Herod turned to the scribes and to the priest, and he said this, where is he going to be born? They knew there had been prophecy, so he turned to the religious leaders. The scribes are the one who maintained the scriptures, and he asked them where they were to be born, and they found the scripture in Micah where it said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judah. So here's the interesting thing, and here's what's a blessing to you and me tonight. They didn't follow a star all the way across the desert. They traveled across the desert by what? faith. Man, when Brother R.B. Ouellette showed that, I pick up his sermon. I got a sermon in a book, and I pick up a sermon sometimes and read that. Can you imagine maybe up to 2 years, hundreds of miles across the desert, left everything that they knew by faith because somehow they knew that he had been born and they were going to go to him and they were going to worship him. You know what I say? I say they worshiped him every step of the way. They were worshiping God by faith, trusting in him and going that way. Do you know how you and I live our lives? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Boy, some people today just don't even know what faith is. Well, I believe in God. That's not faith. The Bible says even the devils believe and tremble. You've got to put a couple of things together. Faith isn't works, but faith produces works. Does gasoline drive a vehicle? Gasoline provides the power, decides what it needs. What drives the vehicle? The engine. Was you going to say engine? The what? Person, yeah, that's right. The engine is what gives it the power. The person does do it. You know what? Some of you guys know. I have no idea how internal combustible engine works. I've had everybody try to explain it to me. Explosion, pistons going up, pistons going down. Doesn't mean anything to me. Here's what I know. I put gas in that vehicle. I turn that key. Hopefully it'll start. If it starts, I go to D and I drive. And it works really well. You know, I put a lot of faith in that vehicle. But if I have faith in God, if I have faith in Jesus Christ, it will produce something in my life. James does that very clearly about that. But let me ask you, are you living a faith life? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ for everything? You know, I was reading an article just this week, and of all places, it was on Fox News channel. I wasn't listening. I was reading it. I went to their website and looked at some stuff, and there was a guy talking about how the decline in church membership over the years. I forget how many years, just a few years ago, 60-something, over 66% of the people in America went to church. Anybody care to guess how many people in America go to church today? 30-something percent. In just a few years, that has halved. And they say the farther south you go, the more people attend. The farther north you go, the less people attend. Let me ask you, is faith increasing or decreasing in America? It is definitely decreasing. I ask you another question. Who had more, the wise men who saw a star or us today? We have so much more today. Listen, I have the star. I can read about the star that they followed. But you know, those men did not have a New Testament. You know, all they knew was a baby had been born. They didn't know where he was at. They just followed by the light they had. Maybe you're here, you haven't been saved very long, or maybe you're here, you have been saved, but you haven't been following much light. You say, preacher, what should I do? Follow the light you have. I remember I got saved as a teenager, started living for the Lord in 1987. We went to a Bible preaching church, and the guy was preaching the Bible. And one of the first things I found out, he said something about you need to be a member of a Bible preaching church. And I said, okay. I went to the preacher. Well, how do you become a member of a Bible preaching church? He said, well, are you saved? I said, yes, sir. He said, are you baptized? I said, yes, sir. Got baptized as a baby. And he said, well, no, you're not baptized. What do you mean I'm not baptized? He said, well, I'm not going to go through all that, but he said, you need to be baptized. So you know what I did? I walked in the light I had. I got baptized. And then they started talking about tithing, and then they started talking about reading your Bible and praying. And every time it came up, once they showed me from the Bible, I just tried to walk in the light that I had. There was a lot. I mean, listen, I heard preachers preach on some of them passages of Scripture, and I sat back there and thought, what in the world are they talking about? But I didn't do anything until God put the light on it. And so we could be like the wise men, if like them, if they walked in the light they had. Listen, Number two, they were not discouraged by the distance or by the inconvenience. And so they came all the way from the east, traveled to the west, and came to Jesus. It was a long, long way. I hate to travel. I hate to travel more than... Benny likes it. Don't shake your head at me, Benny. You're weird, all right? Benny loves to travel, but I hate to travel. Oh, I've hated it my whole life. You know, a few years ago when Ashley and Travis were getting married and I was going to fly over to Alaska to do their wedding, I thought, man, I hadn't flown in a long time. I got to where I was looking forward to flying. This will be great. I'd flown a long time. All I could remember is I didn't like flying. I wasn't afraid of it. I just didn't like it. I'd been on that plane about 10 minutes, and I realized why I hated flying. You know what there's to do up there? Nothing. There is not. I was in a little chair. I'd get up and go to the bathroom, and I didn't even have to go to the bathroom just so I could walk down the hallway, you know? I mean, they traveled all that distance. You know, there's been many times in my life that God has asked me to travel. And usually, I mean, when I went up to the spiritual warfare seminar and met Brother Suter, I talked to God the whole way up there asking him why I had to travel. Why couldn't he bring it to me? But you know what? I'm glad I traveled. Can you imagine riding hundreds of miles on a camel? Any of you ever rode a camel? I didn't ride one. I think Hannah rode one, didn't she? We went to the zoo one time. You could ride a camel. Probably can't do that anymore because of the animals, you know. But anyway, she rode a camel. But I watched it. I believe I'd get seasick. I get seasick. You know, I do on a boat. I think I'd have been seasick. I would not have liked riding that camel, you know. Those things aren't always nice either, by the way. But anyway, they weren't deterred by the distance or the inconvenience. They just wanted to be with Jesus. Number three, the wise men were wise because they sought after Jesus. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so they sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Were they really looking for Christ? What was it on the inside of them that made them do that? I believe it was the Holy Spirit of God drawing them to Christ. You know, I say this all the time, but in 1978, I really got interested in spiritual things. And I'd been religious my whole life, but I really got interested. I was looking for God. But there was something on the inside of me that was causing me to look for God. You know, Miss Sydney sang it. He was born in the manger to die on the cross. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So really, we say they were seeking Christ, but God was working on the inside of them and drawing them to yourself. Let me ask you today, does God work on the inside of you? Does God put a desire in you to seek after the one who died on the cross for you? The wise men were wise because they followed the light. The wise men were wise because they were not discouraged by distance. The wise men were wise because they sought after Christ. The wise men were wise because they were willing to follow additional light. It's a great story. I mean, it's a wonderful story as we read through there. The light appeared in the east. By faith, they followed that star. They came into Jerusalem, and as they came into Jerusalem, they went to the king. Where is he that is born, king of the thing? And he says he's been Bethlehem, Judah, not very far away. They've almost come to the end of their trip. Now, they don't know where he's at in Bethlehem. All they know is that he is in Bethlehem. And so they start out after they know where he's at. He says, go and find out where he is and then come and tell me. The Bible says in verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed and lo. What does lo mean? It's an exclamation thing. Lo! I can see. Can't you see them? I wonder which one saw it first. Listen, they've been going by faith for how long? That whole journey. And all of a sudden somebody goes, hey! Look! And guess what they saw again? The star. You know, at the end of the journey, they didn't have to follow by faith anymore. And where did it take them? Right to the house where Jesus was. You know, have you ever, look, I don't know. There's some things I don't completely understand. But I have read stories. I've got a whole book on the testimonies of the saved and unsaved. And sometimes I just pick up that testimony. I like to read testimonies of the saved. You go through there and read testimonies of the saved and somebody will be dying. And they won't have said anything for days maybe. And all of a sudden they'll say, do you hear that? Somebody dying. Do you hear that? Hadn't talked. Do you hear that? They're like, what? Can you hear that singing? Like, no. And they're like, whoa. You see that? Everybody looks and can't see anything. You see that? What is that? You see that? They're like, what are you seeing? You see them angels? Now, this has happened multiple times. I believe sometimes God just lets some people take that last step, not by faith, but by sight. Now, let me tell you, one of these days the Bible said we will not walk by faith. We will walk by sight. We will get to see Him in heaven. But I'm telling you, sometimes God just peels back. You know who I found out who most of the time when God has peeled that back, who gets to see that? Is it everybody? Who is it? It's those people who have walked, traveled that distance by how? Faith. I don't know about you. When my time comes to go, it'd be a real blessing if I could see some angels and hear some singing. Like I said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm just a little bit of afraid of the process of dying. And if God could send some angels to be singing and I could see some angels in the corner, it's absolutely amazing. Pastor Sexton's mom, when she died, Pastor Sexton, she lived way longer than they thought to, because I think it was Pastor Sexton who was out of country. And they said, you know, you may not make it in. And Pastor Sexton, they just said, she's going to be dead before you can get here, because he had to get the airplanes and change all of his stuff. And he flew back in and he got into Knoxville and his mother was still alive. And he went into that room. She hadn't been conscious for days, just laying there. He walked into that room and they said, Mom, Clarence is here. She opened up her eyes and she looked at every one of those kids and she smiled. And for the first time in days, she raised her hand. The hand dropped and off she went into glory. Listen, I'm telling you folks, it is worth it to walk this life by faith, because of what we have promised to them. They saw the star again and the storm. So not only did they walk by light, they walked by additional light they had. And you and I, need really, as we grow in the Lord, He'll give us additional light, and we just need to follow Him. The Bible says, and they came, the purpose of coming to there was to worship Him. The Bible says in verse number 11 said, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. You know the word worship. People don't even know what the word worship today means. There are some people, and look, I'm not picking on people. I just want you to understand. Worship is not singing, although you can worship the Lord while you're singing. First time the word worship was ever used in the Bible was given to us in the book of Genesis, and the Bible says God had told Abraham to rise up, take his son, his only son Isaac, to a place that I will show you, and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. The Bible says that Abraham got up early in the morning and he went the next day to this place where God had called him. He took the lad and he took some wood and he took his special knife that he would use in offering a burnt offering to slice the neck of the offering and pour the blood out on the altar there. But so he took it and he told the men, there were some servants that went with him. They went to a certain part. He said, you wait here. The lad and I are going, and what are they going to do? Worship. That's the very first time the word worship was used in the Bible. Had nothing to do with singing, had nothing to do with praise. It had to do with obedience to the Lord. He took him up, and as he was going to worship God, he had the knife raised to thrust into his son. The Bible says in Hebrews that he was trusting that God would raise him up, but he was ready to kill his son. And Jesus, God said, stop right there. Now I know that you love me. And he had the ram caught in the thicket. They came to worship him. The Bible, they went in, they fell on their faces, and they worshiped him. The next thing they did is they gave him gifts, the Bible said. And it said they worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of these very, very valuable things. You know, those wise men didn't know what the future was going to hold, did they? They didn't know that when they left, God was going to tell Joseph to pick up his family and go to Egypt, to that country. But God prepared everything that they needed to take care of them while those men didn't realize that what they were using to worship the Lord would be used in a practical, wonderful sense. We have the offering plate up here, and the offering plate is what puts in money in the bus. It's what provides so many things that we do at Calvary Baptist Church. And so they gave him gifts. When was the last time you gave the Lord a gift? If you truly love him, if you truly follow him, you'll want to give back a portion of that which he has given to you. And the Bible says that God loves you so much when you give the gift that he gives back to you greater than what you have given him. And so the wise men were wise because they followed the light. The wise men were wise because they were not dismayed by the distance or the inconvenience. The wise men were wise because they sought after Christ. The wise men were wise because they followed additional light. The wise men were wise because they worshiped him. The wise men were wise because they gave him gifts. The wise men were wise because they put him first. They put God, they obeyed God, and put him first. You know, do we put God first in our life? I would hope that we would. Listen, I often wonder, did they have wives? Did they have children? Did they leave those behind? And listen, it's never fun to leave your family behind. But there is sometimes you may have to, not permanently. God doesn't take you away permanently. But can I tell you, I believe here's ought to be the order in your life. God first and family second. But we need to make sure, you know, some people, well, I'd like to go over there and see that king, but I just can't leave my family. I don't ever, hardly ever. Now, there's sometimes I like to get away, but I never like to be away from my family. My wife can tell you, if I leave, I call, don't I? Fairly regular. Sometimes I'll call sitting in a deer stand, won't I? You know why I call my wife in a deer stand? And I miss her. What are you doing, honey? You know? I was up in the deer stand past few months when I was home hunting, and Noah had shot a deer the evening before. I almost left on Thursday. Wasn't it Thursday that you shot it? You remember? I think it was on a Thursday. What day did I come home? I did, but I think it was on a Thursday. Noah had sent me a text, and I got a text that he thought he had shot a deer. They weren't 100% sure. And you know what I almost did that night? Almost came home, because my son, you know, if he finds it, he killed his first deer, I want to be there. And I thought, well, who knows? Y'all do know what Noah's nickname was prior to that, don't you? No Hit Noah. He'd shot at deer before. He just hadn't hit it. He'd shot at deer before. And so I was up in my stand the next day, and I just wasn't comfortable in my stand that day. I thought, I wonder if they found that deer. Get a text. Noah said, that's got a picture of Noah and his deer. Then I was ready to quit hunting. I'm sitting up there texting everybody. I'm texting people who don't even care. I'm texting people all over the country telling them that Noah had killed a deer. The next, I'm just, my hands are moving. I hear a noise behind me. I turn around and look, and two deer run off. I keep on texting here, and I hear a deer snorting over here. I know he's seen me. I didn't care. I love being with my family. Now, that was being hunting. I didn't have to be away, but there are some times that God calls me away. But listen, if God wants me to go somewhere, I need to be willing. I need to obey God. And you need to put God first in your life. And lastly, this morning, I want to remind you that they were wise because they came to Christ one way, but they left another. They came to Jesus and they found him. And suppose they were supposed to go back and they were supposed to tell Herod where Jesus was, because he told them what? He wanted to worship them. But that angel said, nope, don't go back to Herod. So they went another way. You know what this reminds me of? When I got saved, God wanted me to go a different way. But man, before I got saved, the road I was on was not the right road. There was drinking in my life. There was smoking in my life. There was a lot of things in my life, and I got saved. And what God wanted me to do was to turn from the route what I was on and go a different way. I wished I could tell you that I turned right away, but I didn't. It was 7 years and took God working in my life 7 years before I finally turned and I got my life right. You know, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and in verse number 17. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't go the way you were. Don't travel on that same road. Go a different way. And so my life changed. God helping me, I put the alcohol out of my life. God helping me, I put the smoking out of my life. God helping me, I started putting other things into my life that God wanted me to put in my life. I put in my life reading my Bible, and I put into my life praying, and I put into my life being faithful to God at church and giving, and then obeying God and serving Him and doing things for Him. And can I tell you, I've lived two different lives, two different paths. And the path that God put me on is the absolute most wonderful path I've ever lived in my life. You know, when I wake up in the morning, when I pillow my head at night, I don't have any regrets. When I wake up in the morning, ready to serve the Lord, I want to serve you this day. And when I get done today, I don't want to have any regrets. The wise men were wise because they did what they were supposed to do. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you don't know if you're saved or not, you don't know if you died, if you were going to heaven, Jesus came at Christmas to give a gift. And what was that gift? Eternal life. If you're here today and you're not saved, you could get saved today. If you are here today and you are saved, this is a time of the year that we remember what He's done. And if you've not been living for the Lord, it'd be a wonderful day. You know what gift God wants from you more than anything else? He wants you. That's exactly right. You know, the Bible says about the church at Philippi, He said they first gave of them own selves. The Bible, Paul writing to the church at Rome said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants you as a gift. If you're here today and you've never been saved, we'd love to have someone take the Bible and share with you how you can be saved. If you're here today and you've not been living to the Lord, can I tell you, today you can give Jesus the main gift that He wants, and it's not your money, it is you. Because if He gets you, He's got your money, He's got your time, He's got everything. He's not going to ask you for everything. But can I tell you, even if He did ask you for everything, it'd be a bargain, because it's eternal life, it's a home in heaven, with the rewards that you can earn by being faithful to Him. Why don't we be wise like the wise men? Would you stand today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? If God has spoken your heart about something, let me just ask a couple of questions this morning. How many of you here today say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I've trusted Jesus Christ. I want to lift my hand as a testimony to that. Hands raised. God bless you. You may put your hands down. And you say, but Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I really never have made Him a gift of me. I never have put myself on the altar and said, Lord, I'm presenting myself as a sacrifice to you. Does anyone say, Preacher, I've never done that. Would you pray for me? I see your hand and your hand. God bless you. How many here would say, Preacher, I have done that in the past, but unfortunately I crawled off the altar and I'm not living for Him. I see your hand. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not the living sacrifice I ought to be. God has spoken to your heart in just a moment. Sydney's going to play, and I encourage you to come. Is there someone here this morning who would say, Preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved today. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone who would say, I don't know if I'm saved or not? Anyone like that? I'm looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. Here's an invitation to you. If you'd like to talk to someone about being saved, if you'd come this morning, we have someone who would be willing to take the Bible and share with you how you can be saved. Father, you saw the hands of Bible-believing Christians who said they were saved and trusted you, and Lord, that they're not living that sacrificial life for you. Lord, either they've never put themselves on your altar, or they've crawled away from that altar. I pray, dear God, you'd help those folks to come this morning And I pray that they would re-sacrifice themselves, Lord, that they would re-offer themselves unto you today. And Lord, for this one that raised their hand and said they didn't know if they were saved or not, I pray they'd realize if they'd come this morning, we have people who'd take the Bible and share with them how they can know they're saved. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.